AM 570 LA Sports.
No. I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
If they didn't want to know, they shouldn't have asked.
Whoa! Gong it out, Vic.
That's Vietnam.
Gong out by Vic the Brick on a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday.
Matt, we will not be stopped. And we do have a show chock full of excitement.
It is a Walk Your Bike Wednesday.
It is. I mean, it's all those things.
White pants.
All of it.
Don't touch them.
What am I going to do with this guy?
What am I going to do with this guy?
Greg Biggins is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour to tell us about how he'll spin it positive. He'll try to find some way because he's a positive guy and he kisses coach's ass. And he has to. That's his job. But what?
I mean, what a way to welcome in a guy who's super busy today is going to step away from his responsibilities.
There's no spinning it.
To join us.
He's going to try to spin it, Matt.
And he ain't going to spin it. He can't spin this.
He'll try.
You can't spin this.
He'll try. Did Bruce Feldman not come on this show and say that Alabama was gettable?
He did, and that was wildly irresponsible of our dear friend Bruce Feldman, but not Biggins. Not like that.
Really?
At least save it until we say goodbye to him.
Hey, Biggins, why don't you kiss some more ass on your way to the parking lot? James Worthy is going
to
join us.
Try not to kiss any ass if you're in the parking lot.
Oh, he couldn't. He couldn't keep himself. James Worthy is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. The Lakers lost. It's over. They suck.
Not over. Anthony Davis didn't play. They lost by 2 points. Malcolm Brogdon, Vic's favorite.
Yes, love him. Love Brogdon.
Hey, had Magic Johnson still been in charge, I bet Malcolm Brogdon would have signed with the Lakers for like the veterans minimum.
He is a
just ask Magic.
Multi-skilled player.
That's your view. Mine is beginning of the end. Also, we have a very special, and see, that's the thing. Like, I love having our special guest here today. But at the same time, I don't want it to get in the way of Vietnam Christmas.
It's going to
get in the way. We have a very special film fight.
Don't put Vietnam Christmas on there.
At 5 o'clock, we have a huge Vietnam Christmas film fight, which will celebrate the Vietnam culture we all grew up in. I'm not talking about Vietnam like the real war, although we can if you want.
No.
But we can.
No, but we won't.
But we will.
We're talking about the appropriation of Vietnam War culture with major motion picture blockbusters released in spring and summer.
We're going full Nam. Even modern Nam, if you go out there and get in a motorcycle accident and hurt your leg like our intern, Tight Pants Sean, all Nam, all Christmas, Vietnam Christmas. But, and that's at 5 o'clock with the film fight, and we'll try to keep the Vietnam theme. And maybe our special guest is into it, maybe he's not.
We'll leave it up to him.
Joining us now, who came in to, quote-unquote, hang out. Not promoting anything in particular right now, although those avenues are open.
He is able to plug anything he wishes.
Whatever.
That door's wide open for him.
Now.
Right now.
On the Chevy Silverado celebrity microphone.
By the way, that door, not this door, that door, it's wide open. It's full of poop. That door's full of a lot of poop.
Well, okay, stop. Matt just made a reference to how bad San Francisco is.
Yes.
And even the most bleeding of the bleeding heart liberals admit it now.
Hepatitis.
It's filled with poop.
The plague.
There's nothing you can do. They don't even prosecute people when they break into a car anymore. Matt made the reference. I didn't.
Didn't you read that article in the Times today?
It's huge. It's everywhere.
An outbreak of hepatitis.
And a rivalry with San Francisco is a big part of the Dodger identity.
A potential of the plague? The return of the plague?
Play the Sheeran. Let the people know he's here. Joining us now. On the Chevy Silverado celebrity headset. From Bellflower and Lakewood. From Mayfair and Fullerton. From the Dodgers and the Mets. The great Justin Turner, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Justin.
It's summer rock.
He just came here to hang out, man. What's cracking, Turner? How are you?
I'm good.
That's the truth, too.
I just came here to hang out. I got no agenda today.
You just decide. How did this all come together?
They said, hey, you want to go on the show?
I said, that was it.
Sure. What Fantastic. Are we talking about? They said, I don't know.
Whatever
said,
you want.
All right, let's roll.
Well, here's Whatever what's going on today, Turner.
Vietnam Christmas.
Well, we'll get into that. what we got to talk about is the recruiting classes. And I know signing day at Mayfair at the Monsoons was a big deal for you. A lot of media there in the parking lot. A lot of hats out there. You had a Northridge hat. You had a Fullerton hat. A UC Santa Barbara hat. I remember it like it was yesterday on ESPNU.
There was only one hat.
That was it.
It was a Titan hat.
That's there it. Was nobody else?
No one else.
No one else came after you?
I didn't get recruited.
Walk the walk with
I
anybody
didn't get
else?
Recruited by anybody else.
Like, you didn't, like, entertain a phone call from USD?
No, I got a bunch of those little letters that you fill out that don't mean anything. They're kind of just like, oh, hey,
you
play baseball. Here, take one of these letters. But
say you play baseball and you have a pulse.
I filled
How
them
about
all
Redlands?
Out. Filled them all out, sent them all in. Didn't hear from any other school. Fullerton was the only school that came to my house and talked to me.
And you won a national title.
We did.
See?
Worked
you
out
see,
all right.
kids? Answer the mail. Answer the mail. You might think it's antiquated.
Well,
you
no,
might think the mailman is not real, but he is, and look at what can happen to you.
The mail didn't do him any favors.
Yeah,
he did answer the mail. He did log
Fullerton
the hours.
Fullerton got back to you, right?
Fullerton did.
They See? Knocked on his door, though.
They made it easy on me.
After the letter.
There was only one choice.
Was there not a postal correspondence with Fullerton?
Actually, I don't think they even sent me a letter.
They just showed up at the door.
But I was a bat boyed at Fullerton. So
well, there you go.
You had a connection
I had
for
a connection
long time.
I had a connection program, yeah.
Freaking Kotze. Who can forget him? off-season Dodger talk is tonight, Matt. And that gets cracking at 7 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports. The Clippers are off tonight, but we will talk basketball with James Worthy a little later in the show. They're home tomorrow versus Harden and the Rockettos. Here's your rundown there, Turner. Here, what do you want to go through the rundown? I mean, I don't know how much you want to sports talk it up or if you want us to ask you questions about being Justin Turner and the Dodgers and, you know, the hot stove. We even have a hot stove thing we can play if you want. It's pretty exciting.
Listen, every time I've come on your guys' show, it's been so you guys can help me promote something. So you just tell me what you want me to do.
How about UCLA basketball?
How about them?
What do we got going on with UCLA basketball right now? What's their record, Justin?
I do not know. I couldn't tell you.
It's written
that's
right there.
That's a question for Court with a K. They're 7-4.
There we go. Exactly, for Court with a K. Who are they playing on Saturday? What's
they
going on there?
They are playing North Carolina on Saturday. 12 p.m. tip-off here on AM 570 radio.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You see how you leaned into that Woo! Mic and you really did it that time?
It felt good.
Yeah, well, that's good. By the end of the hour, man, you're going to be going full Cowherd. Just so many hot takes about Dak Prescott are going to be flying out of that beard. Vic, there he is, your hero.
Love him.
Justin Turner's in the house.
Body, mind, and soul of the Dodgers. Was so honored to have him in the house.
Sure.
Just mad love, you and Courtney with a K and the whole Dream Foundation, man. Much love. Happy holidays. Thanks for being here today, man.
Well, you know we love you, Vic, and all I got to say is that beard looks great right now.
Well, you crafted it.
Nice and trim,
You're the master
huh?
crafter, man.
It does. Vic looks sleek, you know, and not that the ladies aren't excited, but they kind of are. I mean, a lot of people are really talking about Vic's beard and how virile he looks.
Justin Turner crafted it. He took that razor and sculpted it. You just sculpted it like the master that you are.
Like a young Tyrone Power. I mean, you really
Sweet,
are
Sweet
look
James.
Good.
Sweet James put his touch on it, too.
Absolutely. Sweet James Bergner, absolutely. Yeah.
Shout out for Sweet James.
Much love. It was. It's a great moment when you're here. You know, we're overcome with joy, especially in this holiday season to have you here. But you've been busy. I mean, your itinerary has been crazy. You called me from some crazy locale. I'm not even sure.
Wait a minute. You called Vic?
We FaceTimed him.
Oh, yeah. FaceTime.
Through Weiss?
No, no, just Justin FaceTiming me.
Straight
man.
Up like Justin Turner on your phone, Vic. Don't you still have a flip phone?
I do, but
you were in bed, weren't you?
I was.
You were laying in bed watching TV.
What's going on?
And he still answered.
Of course. Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank
Red
you.
Summer Ride.
Who knows? It's Justin. It's Courtney with a K. Who
what
knows?
Is that conversation? What's up, Vic?
Yeah, man. I wanted to see the beard. I wanted to see what
Oh, right.
Like.
Yeah,
and I want to see Justin's beard. Make sure he's growing.
You know, we wouldn't know what that was like. You know, this whole beard society of beard people that stay together with
beard
beards.
Oil.
Have to, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different. I'm not even looking. I shaved today because my wife wanted to kiss me. I was like, I'll be right back. Justin, it is interesting because we first met you when your golf tournament was on a goat track. Somebody said that. It wasn't me.
It was a parking lot.
Yeah, back at the
bus. Yeah, literal parking lot.
I mean, a lot of things have changed in your life since we first became acquainted with you. How has your off season changed as far as, you know, obviously dealing with disappointment and not winning it all yet as a Dodger is part of it. But how has it changed just for you as a baseball player as you become more and more solidified and so much a part of the Dodger franchise and the people's souls here in the city of Los Angeles?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed too much. You still, you know, every offseason you don't win that last game. You know, it hurts. It hurts for a long time, still hurts. And, you know, this one was, you know, really painful. You know, going out in the first round like that, that wasn't supposed to happen. And having to watch baseball for the first time in 2 years sucked. So
did you watch?
It was kind of like, you know, one eye covered, like peeking around the corner at it. It was always
on. You
said
you weren't going to watch,
It was always on. I didn't sit down and ever watch it, but I would kind of walk by. And
did you
stop.
Root for anyone?
No, no.
Like you didn't have any friends on either of the teams that you were like, I'd like to see that guy.
I wanted them both to lose.
Both to lose.
Yeah!
I have friends on the Nationals, though. We play with Dozier, and we play with Howie Kendrick and Daniel Hudson. So
do you get excited for them? Or because they knocked you out, specifically Howie?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, you don't want to get excited for anyone else, you know, having a parade. Like, that's not cool. But, you know, you do have relationships with those guys. And I'm in a fantasy football league with Dozier, and I beat up on him in the fantasy football league. But
well, then you came out ahead.
But he has the ring, so it's you can't really
I still think
anything,
you're ahead in that one.
But, you know, you stay in touch, and you shoot him a little text. And Howie was – I was really close with Howie. He was actually in the locker next to me when he was a Dodger. So happy for him and his family. But then you kind of just – try to move on. You get back to working out, and we've been really busy with our foundation and different events this off season. So you kind of just put it past you, and next thing you know, it's almost January, and we're almost heading back out to spring training again. So it's kind of flown by, actually.
Yeah. Of any Dodger, I would imagine. I mean, at least to us, I mean, you're the most accessible guy. You know, Rich Hill is pretty accessible, but he's still a pitcher. I mean, for a guy people see every night, you know, you're very accessible. And I know that you probably feel, I mean, your own, of course, disappointment, which nobody can understand as an athlete competing. But the fans' disappointment. I mean, the fans are bent out of shape. But is there a moment where you just personally look back on the regular season and say, hey, you know, we really accomplished something. You know, what we accomplished was legendary, and it will be written about and all that. How does that balance?
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I totally understand where the fans are coming from, and I try to, you know, let everyone know, like, look, we're just as devastated. We're just as pissed off. We have all the same emotions that you have.
Probably a lot more. Yeah.
it's probably on a whole nother level, but we get it. You know, how many years in a row can you say, oh, but, you know, we got a lot to be proud of, but, you know, as an excuse for not, you know, holding that trophy. And we want to win. We want to be the last team standing. And you know, honestly, we're running out of excuses here. We got to get this thing done.
Do you replay specific moments? Like, if you're just sitting around in a quiet, do you what do you replay? And is it stuff that's specifically you? And like, oh, I remember this pitch, or is it this particular moment in this particular game?
Yeah, I think you always try to go back and dissect stuff, and it's more from on a personal level. Like, oh, what could I have done different? You know, I had some at-bats that I felt I gave away against Strasburg, and, you know, where I wish I would have been a little bit more patient and maybe would have changed the course of a game. And you go through all of that stuff. You're replaying every single moment, every single, you know, I had a ball, Turner hit a ball down the line against Kershaw in the first inning that I slid for and it hit off my glove. If I catch that ball, you know, does that change the outcome of it? There's so much stuff that happens that, you know, you think about every night when your head's on the pillow.
That
and
sucks.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. We want to win. It's a long year. We put a lot of work into it, and it's as devastating as you can imagine when
welcome
you
to the studio. Aren't you happy you came? Isn't this great?
Hey, that's why God made NyQuil, though, right?
That's right.
It hits the pillow, forget about it, right? It's all gone. It all just washes away with the medicine.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly right.
So what are your feelings about Vietnam? Because we have been...
Not the war.
No, well, you know, whatever. Just Vietnam in general. You know, do you, what's your favorite, I guess the best way to put it, because we are going Rambo versus missing an action at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now, by then, you'll probably be down at Morton's halfway through a bottle of Silver Oak with Dave Weiss. I see that in your future for coming here and being such a great sport like you are.
He just had a birthday party in Vegas. I don't think he's touching alcohol.
Who, Weiss?
Weiss.
Oh, he didn't have to drink it?
Yeah.
Get him to order the bottle and go away. That would be much more satisfying anyway. Not have to look at his gnomy ass. But At 5 o'clock, we're going Missing in Action versus Rambo 2, which is Rambo Goes Back.
Rambo.
Both extricating POWs because...
Same plot.
It's not as exciting now that we know that there's like no adventure left in northern Vietnam to go rescue POWs. It's not as... To me, they're just those movies aren't coming out anymore, and I'm sad about it. Your thoughts, Justin?
I'm a Rambo guy.
Really?
Yeah, I'll still turn it on and watch Sly run around there with the bandana. And
now, isn't there another
straight Rambo?
Rambo
or First Blood? Like, do you like the original where all he's out in the Pacific Northwest?
Afghanistan
and that small
Rambo.
Coming after him.
Or? Rambo gets after it all over the world. I mean, there's like five of them.
I think the original is probably, I would go with the original. I think I'm an original guy on everything. Okay. Nothing's as good the second time they make it.
Right. But everybody in the 80s, and I believe it was 85, got a real heavy dose of Rambo in Rambo 2 when they saw Rambo. Because it's one thing to see Rambo.
Shirtless, gun.
Well, he's in the forest. You know, Rambo right. in Idaho fighting with the sheriff is not like Rambo taking on the North Vietnamese army, which is really what you want to see. And you get it in Rambo 2.
Well, let me remind you, I'm, and you guys have heard this, I'm getting old. They're trying to move me to first base and stuff now.
We'll get to that old man.
I was 1 year old when I was 1 year old when
Rambo came out,
85.
85. Yeah. So you weren't even alive when First Blood came out.
Yeah, Matt was 20 and I was 7.
22. Missing in Action and Rambo came out within like 3 or 4 months of one another, and they were both almost the exact same plot. Dude escapes Nam, goes back to get his brothers that are still held captive.
And is disgusted with the American government for ignoring the
political
POW MIAs and getting caught up in the political morass when there's
savages,
Americans.
Right? Just an absolute savage going through there by himself.
Oh, yeah. Just getting after
one-man wrecking crew.
It's like the Nam version of Steven Seagal. You know?
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'd like to see Seagal get after it in the jungle. I don't think he could make it.
Enough with this train and battleship. Let's get you in the jungle and
exactly.
see what happens, all right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I care about a New York pool hall.
I mean, what was the last Vietnam movie anybody made? Tropic Thunder. You know, we just don't get it anymore. And it used to be...
Well, we got berated. I mean, we got beaten over the head with it.
Do you count
Between
Forrest
84
Gump?
And...
Yeah,
definitely.
Hell yeah.
Born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, we used to get
that was kind of like a... That
all
was a
through
renaissance.
The 90s. All through the 90s, you got... Well, the Rooster... Which was, see, this is how this happened.
The genesis of this is a Christmas party that my brother threw for the boat parade in Huntington Beach, and he doesn't like Christmas music, so he hired a guy to play music.
Matt's brother-in-law likes the Rooster.
And so he's playing Alice in Chains, the
play
Rooster,
it,
as boats decorated with lights are passing by, and people are walking around with Christmas sweaters, and I got to listen to this guy sing the lyrics to a song about a Vietnam vet who is dealing...
Not just you, Matt. Everybody in Naples.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody down there in Long Beach.
With his return to America to be spit on, to be called a baby killer, all of those things.
I just want to just put that on record right now. That Vietnam Week's been going about 3 days now, and Matt's the first guy to say baby killer. Right there. Well, it just happened right there. It wasn't me. Cates, can you witness that? You've witnessed to that? Now, only one of us here has been to Vietnam. Or have you, Vic?
I've been all around Vietnam. You know, I've been to Cambodia, been to Laos, been to Burma, been to all the neighboring countries. Never got into beautiful Vietnam.
Oh, never? Really?
Did you feel the effects of the war in the surrounding countries?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, the whole thing. Sure.
Now, when were you in those other countries?
It's the late 70s.
Okay, that would make sense that you didn't make your way to Vietnam.
You didn't want to go in there and see what was popping?
Not at that particular time.
Well, I was in the Golden Triangle. You know, that's where I spent my time.
Sure.
You know, Laos, Burma... Cambodia, and of course, north of Chiang Mai in northern Thailand.
Did you ever purchase the company of a lady while you were over there?
Oh.
I think that's a fair question.
No.
No, okay.
No. They bought me.
Hey, now.
Yeah!
Yeah, big.
How much? How many bots? How many bots is that?
How many bots?
The Thai bot, man.
Oh, that'll do
it. Vic.
It's a beautiful currency.
When Turner comes in here, you're really on your toes.
Right?
You would have just got up and walked out, just driven back to Whittier, if it was any other day. But since Turner's here,
rock star in the house,
Rock star
in the house.
Brings out the best in you, Vic.
Petros, you don't strike me as a This Is Us guy, but there's some Nam in This Is Us.
There is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the one with the
Very. Mm.
The lady?
Is there like a Vietnam vet that's in there?
Yeah.
Hey, I like that lady. Must have a thyroid problem, but I like her.
She can sing.
Oh,
I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the genesis of our Vietnam conversation.
Got it.
Christmas.
Why
is someone singing this song at a Christmas party?
Dead Presidents. John Singleton, God rest his soul, took a swing at Nam with Dead Presidents.
So your brother-in-law was just trying to kill the Christmas spirit. Yeah, that's basically what he was doing. It's been
on me in my homeland.
That's from the Christmas party. They spit on me in my homeland.
What's wrong with that?
At the Christmas party.
I mean, one of these Nam movies had to come out on Christmas Day. Like, hey, man.
Like Platoon.
Take your family to see Hamburger Hill.
I bet Forrest Gump came out on Christmas Day. That seems like a Christmas Day movie.
And those are Nam movies, man. Straight up Nam.
Aren't you happy you came in?
And I miss it. I'm just saying, I miss it. I miss the Nam movies. I don't miss the Vietnam War. I was born in 1977. Pass me by.
I missed the Nam movies. 73. They almost got me.
And you know what? We're not inundated with Iraq movies just because the Iraq War happened 30 years before when we were kids. I mean, you have the Three Kings with
Clooney. Three Kings with Clooney and
Ice Cube.
You
got the Clooney and you got the Jarhead with your Duetmano, right. Gyllenhaal.
Oh, you got the Zero Dark 30. Big one there.
That's a good one.
Big one.
There's what's the Jamie Foxx one when he goes over?
Jarhead.
What's the one with the bomb diffuser?
The bomb,
bomb diffuser with Jeremy Renner. What's her name wrote?
Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker. There you go. We got Hurt Locker.
It's not the same.
Got some Afghanistan action for
a
while there.
It's not the same, though, man.
I mean, you had Gyllenhaal, you had Renner, you had Jamie Foxx, you got Zero Dark.
Yeah.
I mean, they got us
Tango,
pretty good.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Right?
Whiskey Tango.
They got us pretty good.
We got Whiskey Tang, but it's still not the same. It's not the same. Not like Sheen out there.
I mean, there ain't no Apocalypse Now or Deer Hunter, for God's sakes.
And it's not like Sheen out there.
No, in Platoon.
Freaking out,
Defoe,
shooting Tom
Berenger.
Berenger.
You know what we're talking about? Did you do the Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, that Vietnam circuit?
Yeah.
I mean, they got Michael
Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Hey, Courtney, get your popcorn ready. It's movie night.
Fire up the Netflix.
Court with a K has seen about 10 movies, but she's seen each of them about 1,000 times.
That'll do it.
Is one of them Failure to Launch?
No.
That's good. Any McConaughey in there?
No.
That's strong.
Her favorite movie of all time, Terminator.
Oh. Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
What about T2?
The only time she ever cries is when he's going down and he gives a thumbs up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
She'll shed a tear. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Who knew? We'll be right back with the great Justin Turner. We'll talk more Dodgers. We'll talk about
Lakers,
his young legs, and how they can handle the hot corner.
First base. Move the old man to first base.
Total self-sacrifice.
New blood coming to town. Wait a minute.
Self-sacrifice.
Is Ron Say coming back or something?
New blood not coming to town. We're not being told. No need to move. You're good.
We'll talk about the hot stove and how much the hot stove burns his beard every year, if it does at all.
He's still looking at movies. We'll keep talking movies.
The Kingdom.
Jamie Foxx. Well done. Yes. See, you get caught in what we get caught.
Yeah.
So you'll say something and then you know it's not right.
Well, he wasn't
Jarhead.
So now
you gotta look it up.
He wasn't Jarhead.
Jarhead was Gyllenhaal.
And Jamie
Foxx.
Was in Jarhead as well.
Yeah, he was the drill sergeant.
Was Ice Cube Three Kings?
That was Three Kings.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But it's still not the same as Nam. You just don't get that Tet Offensive flavor.
Yeah. There is no Apocalypse Now.
You like that, Vic? You like that little Tet Offensive line?
I did.
That was in the Golden Triangle.
We'll be right back with more
wild.
With Red Turn 2 on PMS.
Got a full 4-hour show today going until 7 p.m. Next hour, Greg Biggins will check in as it stands right now per his 247sports.com site. They are currently ranked 12th. Out of 12 Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, but Rivals got him at 9.
On the early signing day.
Rivals got him at 9, Matt. I mean, come on. Can we just hedge it and say they're 10th and a half?
How about 11? You got 9. Biggie's got 12. Let's go 11. It's a bad scene for the Trojans
it
on early signing
the
day.
The worst recruiting day, modern times at least, in the history of the University of Southern California. And back before they used to regulate the scholarships, like back before everybody only got 85 scholarships for the football team, USC would take like 110 dudes. Like, hey, we'll just take a guy so we don't have to play against him. So their recruiting class was not only excellent, but gigantic. You know, you'd have a guy play pro football for 10 years and took like 7 snaps at SC.
Not today. 0 5-stars, Zero top 25 in the state of California.
Always getting the best of the best in L.A., no matter who was the coach. This is a true rejection of it. Reminds me a little bit of McCourt with the Dodgers. How everybody just rejected.
Good time, my man. Way to bring him in.
It never happened.
Way to bring him into the conversation.
Justin Turner's here. He remembers. The fans have never rejected the team, except for that one time. And it seems like all these recruits watched a lot more games than the athletic director and the president have.
Well, they said they were looking forward to a great bowl game, an outstanding early recruiting class. And instead, they got the Holiday Bowl against Iowa. And they got a recruiting class that, depending on the site you visit, is ranked anywhere from 9 to 12 in the Pac-12. If you said 9 to 12 nationally, you'd be like, man, I mean, you want them to be top 5. You know, I see maybe Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State beat you, but man, they're ranked 9th or 12th, and they got jumped by LSU and Georgia and Washington got them. No.
They got jumped by the Beavs.
By everybody.
The Beavs.
Yeah. So
my Beavs.
That's how bad it's going.
It's the worst day in USC history. I don't think that signing day. I don't think that the president of the university or the athletic director anticipated this tsunami of negativity headed their way. But Justin Turner's here, and he's a positive fellow. There's no doubt about that. But I do have to ask you. You know, your off season, you gallivant all around.
Gallivanting around.
You know, like anybody would. It has like 1 month off. You go interesting places and do interesting things. You know, international people of mystery. What's the most interesting thing you have done since the playoffs have ended for you guys?
Ooh, we went over to London for the first time.
Top of the morning to
first
you there.
Time, yeah, yeah. I had afternoon tea.
How was that?
It was incredible. I was not into it. Court was like, we got to have tea. We got to
do
tea.
It.
And I'm like, I want to go to tea. Like, and it was actually... It was awesome.
They served liquor?
Did you get tea white? Or did you get...
I had some like jasmine gold.
Okay.
I don't know.
They don't have liquor?
No.
For tea?
No.
I think they... You
can't have a beer
at tea? The only thing I remember is they would say champagne. Tea white, tea black.
And you get a glass of champagne.
Champagne?
When you sit
down. All right. Well, then, yeah. Gives me indigestion.
Now, is that high tea? Is that what you're doing? Or is that...
Low.
That's low tea. Tea.
When you got low tea,
no,
you take the Frank
tea.
Thomas pill and you get a real boner.
Exactly.
You ever tried that? No, I haven't.
Another time.
So London was the most interesting. Did you get out to the countryside or did you just stay in the city like a real middle Londoner like Jeremy Irons?
No, we got out to Windsor Castle and then we did tea at the Cliveden House, which was out there about an hour outside the city. And just walked around, ran into actually one of our coaches, Danny Lehman, randomly was
weird.
Walking on the street.
On the tube?
We turned the corner, and there he was. In
a giant city.
In a giant city. Had no idea he was there. He didn't know I was there. And just crossed paths. So that was pretty cool.
Warm beers in the street?
Luke.
Well, that's actually interesting. You know, when soccer games or football games are going on over there, and you walk by a pub, I mean, it's too deep outside of the pub with their beers, with their cigarettes, and they're watching the games through the windows.
Not in the bar.
They're still
in the street outside
still smoking
of the bar.
In Europe?
It's 40 degrees.
Still smoking?
40 degrees and raining, and they're standing outside so they can smoke.
Still doing that?
They're still doing it.
Still going strong in Europe.
But standing outside so they can watch their soccer game.
So
it's crazy.
When you're out running around with your wife and you're enjoying the off season like you deserve to, obviously, how much attention do you pay to the stove? To the stove that's cooking and poofing out smoke at the owners' meetings and you know, all the talk about this or that. I mean, it's every year. It's never-ending. The fans engage in it 24/7. I'm sure Rosenthal's nipping at your heels like a freaking weasel. What do you do?
Well, Rosenthal's not nipping at my heels. But, yeah, I watch it just like everyone else. I'm a baseball fan, you know, first and foremost. I love the game and love seeing all the stuff and the trades and the transactions and the signings. And so I love paying attention to that. And obviously pay attention extra closely to see what's going on with the Dodgers. And, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot. Blank Trinan coming in, I think, is a really good free agent signing for us. He is, I've faced him a few times and don't want to face him again. So I'm glad he's on our side. But I know these guys are working hard and they're trying to figure out what the best roster is going to be for us going into next year. And, you know, we didn't lose a whole lot of guys. You know, Hungin left and Rich Hill left, maybe. We don't know if they're coming back yet. But we still have a pretty good team. So everyone wants us to go out and get these new...
We do.
you know, shiny, bright objects.
We sure do.
You know, it doesn't guarantee anything. You can go out. No. And we could have went out and signed all three of those guys, and it still wouldn't guarantee.
Think about the Padres like 3 years
World
ago.
Series. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when I get my, you know, 10 seconds of conversations with those guys about what's going on, I tell them I just want guys that want to win. And, you know, all I care about is winning a championship. I don't care about the other stuff. And bring guys in that are hungry and want to win and want to compete every day. And that's all that matters.
I want winners.
Winners.
I want people that want to win.
I want to play like there's no tomorrow every single day, you know. The Rich Hill line. Which like there's no tomorrow.
Exactly right.
Play like there's no tomorrow.
Now, David Vasse said he made that up.
No, Vasse claims everything. He heard it from Rich.
Oh, wow. Now, what about this business?
Well,
that's
an undercover breaking news there, because Vasse is
going to be on a 7 a.m. column.
Dodger Talk,
for that.
One of the most downloaded shows in the whole cluster, believe it or not, David Vasse's Dodger Talk.
Even off-season.
And that became a big theme on that show. Well, there is no tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, like us not doing a whole lot is probably making the show pretty good right now. There's probably some disgruntled fans.
Although
calling
I guess
in.
It worked both ways. You know, if you get Garrett Cole or
not just
Rendon,
that show, Justin.
Speaking of Rendon, what's this business about you moving to first base? How did that come up? Did anybody ever bring it up to you? Did you ever say anything about it?
Yeah, I think it got blown a little out of proportion. I mean, I'm a team guy. I'll do whatever it takes to win. Like I said, I just want to win a championship. So at the end of the day, it's not my job to decide who's coming in here and playing and who's going to play where. That's Dave's job, and it's Andrew's job to sign free agents and whatnot. So regardless of how I felt, I wasn't going to have a choice. If they sign Rendon and Dave wants me to play first,
tell him to go play first.
I'm going
to
go play first. I don't have a choice. But
you got a way better beard than that guy. Send that beard over there.
I didn't actually sit. I actually got approached by a reporter during the playoffs, and he came up and asked me about Rendon being a free agent and whether or not I want him to come to LA. And I'm like, dude, we're about to go play against this guy. Like, I don't have time to talk about this. And I kind of left it at, look, I've played all over the place my whole career. I've been a utility guy my whole career. Whatever happens, and I'll adjust. And I think the headline of the story was Justin Turner agrees to move to first base. And, you know,
that's why you really like the media.
Kind of got
right?
blown out of proportion.
He loves the media. He's right? here.
Exactly. Well, we're not the media. We're totally different,
We are under the media umbrella. We are.
But do you view us the same as that guy asking you that question, or that gal asking you that question about moving over there? We're not the same as them, right?
Good
well, no,
hedge.
This is on air. This is on air. You can't spin it in words, right?
That's a good point.
You know, whatever I say, I say, I got to live by it. It's a soundbite for the rest of my life. So.
When Matt and I started doing radio, not here, but just radio in general, when you said something, it would just float away into the sky, and somebody would say, like, I heard you said it. Like, oh,
never said it.
What? Oh, you got, you heard what? You ain't got nothing.
Exactly.
But now with this damn podcast.
Never said it.
All these people with their streaming and their podcast and their phones and their capturing of things.
It's not good.
Holding us accountable.
Yep.
We can't have that.
No, I didn't sign up for accountability.
No.
That is,
I signed up to spout off and then forget about it when I leave. You know what I mean?
When you heard Dave Roberts say, this is going to be the most roster turnover that I have ever experienced as manager of this team, were you like, huh? Because it doesn't look like it. Like you said, you only got two guys really that are going out. I mean, that would lead me to believe that a lot of dudes are getting traded.
Yeah, you know, I think our front office had the intentions of going out and making a big splash, and I do think that they made the best offer for Garrett Cole. He just ended up taking more years in New York, and although he is from Southern California and went to UCLA, I think
he's going to be so cold and bitter.
He's going to be cold. But I think
and
it's pretty
shaven.
I think it's pretty obvious he grew up a diehard Yankee fan, so that was. You know, that was going to be tough for us anyway. So I do think that Andrew made a very competitive offer to him, and it was you know, came down to his preference, and he chose to go over there. And, you know, I guess that's what being in a free agency means. You get to pick. You get to choose where you want to go, where you want to go play. And
they need to get you in these meetings. Do you ever get in these free agent meetings?
To talk to the players?
Yeah.
No,
I haven't. See, we mentioned this. These guys get close. The Dodgers get close. And these guys sign everywhere else. Get somebody they can relate to. I mean, not that they can't relate to Friedman and those guys, but we see how you engage with the fans, with other players, with us.
You're very likable.
We wonder if that's maybe one of the problems, is they sit in these rooms and there's something that's not happening. We hear about, they're a finalist for Ohtani, they're a finalist for Rendon, they're a finalist for Cole. It's like, close the deal.
I was in the room for the Ohtani deal.
Did you buy that he was willing to come to the Dodgers or no?
You know what? He didn't say a word.
Vic said the translator lied. That was Vic's angle.
that the translator lied.
On the Ohtani deal?
Yeah, like he told him things that you guys weren't saying.
Well, I don't speak Japanese, so right, I don't know what the translator was telling
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but that was Vic what alleged that there was a language barrier.
Well, that's weird. Ohtani doesn't say a word. You're in there pitching him and he's just looking
at you.
Did you
hear Japanese words, though, from other guys?
No. I mean, obviously the translator's sitting there kind of helping him out, but yeah, myself, Clayton, and Chris Taylor were in the room for that meeting, and we thought it went really well. I mean, we talked to him about our experience and why we love LA and the opportunity here to win championships and compete every season. And we thought it went well. And he
liked the LA part.
He decided to
go to the Angels.
The Los Angeles Angels. Yeah.
There you go.
Not quite LA.
That's not LA. Just ask Rendon.
Exactly.
He thinks he lives in freaking Idaho now.
This is Hollywood.
Yeah. Easy Rendon.
LA, apparently.
I mean, really, guy? Really?
He knows.
We all live in the suburbs, Rendon, okay?
Well, not all of us.
It's not like I'm trying to resuscitate River Phoenix every morning outside the Viper Room, you know? Come on, man.
Those are the salad days.
They really were a different time, man. It was a different time. We'll be right back, and we'll talk to Justin Turner. Well, for as long as he wants to be here.
Hey, stick around.
Until Biggins comes on to spin it. He's going to spin it, man. You know he's going to.
Some of these SC guys are pretty.
He ain't going to spin it.
Pretty tough.
You can't spin it.
That's right. You asked me about it.
You can't spin it.
I'm an expert.
You can't spin 78 and 12.
Matt,
78 nationally, 12.
Bowling Green, pretty good program these days.
Oh, yeah.
And they are bringing in a lot of corn-fed young men from the Midwest.
They got beat by two Falcons, Bowling Green and Air Force, both ahead of them.
It's tough.
A little bit.
But it's not like Christmas at all. I remember when you...
Metros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports. Tonight, 7 p.m., off-season Dodger talk. Clippers are off tonight. That means we've got a full 4 hours until 7 p.m. And then tomorrow, it's the Rockets in town. James Harden, pregame at 6:30. Tip-off at 7:30. Clippers.com to buy tickets for any of those games. That one there.
Do you know what Kate's told us?
What'd he tell you? Talk some Lakers.
He told us we could go past the top of the hour.
Okay.
Because we have Justin Turner
stay
here.
He can stay if he wants.
It's really up to him.
It's up to him. You stay as long as you want. You can leave whenever you want.
I show up, you work overtime, huh?
Well, no. You're working overtime.
They're searing your steak downstairs right now, Turner.
Exactly right.
You know what? Turner's going to come out of the studio and be like, What are we doing? And Weiss is going to be like, well, what do you mean?
It's 4 o'clock. You want to walk the rest of a workday?
Walk over to Whole Foods? What do you want to do?
Ooh. Are you going to Morton's after this? Is that the plan?
No.
I think it's happening.
I'm going home.
You're going home?
No.
You got responsibilities at home tonight? You cooking?
System pavers?
It's our dog's birthday, you know?
Is it really?
Is it really?
Moonshine.
Moonshine's birthday.
Do you celebrate dog birthdays?
Kind of.
What's the celebration?
My wife does.
Do I have to admit this?
Yeah, you do. What's on the schedule for tonight's celebration for Moonshine?
Oh, not a whole lot.
We'll no?
Just, yeah.
Take him for a walk to his favorite park? Or
yeah, she's a min pin. She's like 9 pounds. So she runs around like a little crazy dog for 45 minutes, and she sleeps for 4 hours.
Okay.
So, you know.
But like, do you cook her?
We'll get her a nice bone. Nice big
She
bone.
Likes bones?
Yeah, she'll chew on
Fish,
it.
Fish? Steak? Pork.
Well, after Morton's.
Fancy
right?
feast?
I'm just like, or does she like fancy dog diet?
We're going to go bone in downstairs.
See, now you're talking.
Take it home.
Now you're talking.
Happy birthday.
Will you make her a cake?
No.
And like,
well,
sing
I
to
don't
her.
Know.
Blow
I thought,
the candle out, and then you and Court eat it.
I got to go home. It's my dog's here. Birthday is something. That's
I thought
pretty
Court,
good.
I thought Court was going to come up here, but maybe she's staying at home baking a cake for
the
moonshine.
Dog.
You thought she was going to come visit?
I thought she was going to.
Nice.
I mean, she loves you guys.
We love her.
Now, did you notice?
Love the Turner family.
That we did a whole segment last segment, and we do love the Turner family. And we did not mention Vietnam Christmas, but don't think it's not coming back. At 5 o'clock, we got Missing in Action
versus
Rambo 2, and I have Bob, the busiest man in the world. Oh, did he do it?
Vietnam Christmas on PMS.
Ho, ho, ho. Saigon.
All week.
I can't believe I'm still in Saigon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Way to go, Bob. Now.
Love it.
That's one end of the spectrum that can be considered polarizing for our listener base. Some people might enjoy that. Others might not.
Well, that's their problem.
One thing everybody can enjoy is the great work you do in the city of Los Angeles. You said you went to London, but you're also helping out the people here over the course of the offseason. You had mentioned you were at Children's Hospital a little bit earlier, right?
Yeah, we were there yesterday morning. We did our Winter Wonderland. We're there from about 8 to 2, 250 kids. Half inpatient, half outpatient came through, and it was incredible. Mindy Weiss helped us set it up and decorate it, and it was unbelievable. The kids came through. We had a Santa there. Elsa was there. We had elves and ballerinas dancing around. There was face painting and little crafting stations. We had PlayStation set up, Papa Shot, air hockey. The biggest foosball table I've ever seen. It was 10 versus 10 foosball. Have you ever seen one that big? It was enormous.
Who's on my team?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, it was great. You know, Coffee Bean came in and set up a hot chocolate station, and we had cotton candy, and an airbrush company came in. They were airbrushing all these T-shirts for the kids with their names on it.
80s style. Love it.
Yeah, it was really cool, and they got to come through. And then at the end of the day, they walked through and went through a gifting station and got to take some presents either home or back to their room. But, you know, one of the saddest things is realizing that, you know, a lot of these kids have to spend their entire holiday season up in those rooms in the hospital. They don't get to go home. They don't get to walk around the block and see Christmas lights. They don't get to, you know, decorate their tree or go Christmas shopping. So we wanted to try to create this winter wonderland where they can come down, get out of their room, have an experience to make them forget about, you know, having to be in there and having to spend their holidays up there. And it was fantastic. And everyone at CHLA was awesome. Mindy Weiss and her team were amazing, and everyone who helped out was truly incredible. The kids had a blast, and that's what, you know, we were trying to do.
Now, don't sell yourself short. I heard you were handing out teeth in London to help out people.
No.
Yeah. Are you sure? Because I support Dr. All right, I guess that was a weird rumor. Now, when I say...
Not weird at all.
I mean...
Very believable.
People need teeth. You don't especially need teeth there to eat our beef. Now, when I say spring training, Camelback, does that light the fire in your beard yet, or does it take a little while, or does it feel like a slog? I mean, we only go there for like a day, and we're like, ugh. I mean, you know, but we suck as people.
I think when that starts to hit you is when, you know, in January, we're up at the field every day. We start getting out on the field, taking ground balls, running, conditioning, you know, taking batting practice, and that kind of gets boring. And then you're like, God, I can't wait for spring training to get here so we can get out there. And then, you know, 2 weeks into spring training, that gets boring.
I'm
back. Like, God, I can't wait for opening day. We want to get back to LA. So it hasn't hit me yet. You know, still just working out and doing that stuff. Haven't done a whole lot of baseball stuff. But once we start getting on the field and you start getting all those feels back in you, you
throw the ball back and forth all hard.
You start getting excited, yeah.
You guys throw it so hard, you know, the baseball players, like when you play catch. Does anybody ever go like, hey, man, why are you throwing it so hard? Does that happen in pro baseball?
Pitchers. If you play catch with pitchers, I mean, they let it eat every time. I'm trying to throw the ball and make it as easy to catch as possible, and they're out there throwing. I went on an all-star break with Alex Wood 2 years ago, and he's like, hey, I got to bring my glove and ball. We're going to play catch. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we go over to some park and go out there, and this guy is just chucking it from like 40 feet. I'm like, bro, like, I don't even have a catcher's glove on. Take it easy, man.
Now, we'd like, but saying that, does that like, does that hurt your ego to say that? Like, because you guys are all pro baseball players. You're like, hey, I don't want to say you're throwing it kind of hard because, you know, maybe you throw it hard to all the other baseball guys and they don't say anything.
Absolutely not. I said, hey, man, take it easy.
Back off. You take it to the wall.
It's a secure guy who's proven a lot on the field already. That's
exactly
right.
Yeah. Now, you said you're a baseball fan. But are you a sports fan? So, like, in the offseason, are you paying attention to the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, the Chargers, the Kings?
I watch a lot of Kings games.
A lot of Kings games. Are you friends with guys on the team?
Tyler Toffoli.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I talk to him all the time. And
But you don't live in Manhattan Beach?
I do not.
Aren't you allowed to hang out with the Kings unless you live in the South Bay?
I did a Friendsgiving over there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, you got that going for you.
Yeah, it was good.
Let them live there.
That's a long drive.
It is.
Yeah.
Way too long.
It's crazy.
No, it's a long drive, and there's nowhere to park.
Yeah.
And no one's from L.A.
I don't think what people realize, like, when we get to the field, during the season, we're at the field at 12:30, 1 o'clock, right? So we don't have any traffic. But the Kings, when they have a game at Staples Center, they're probably getting there around 5 o'clock.
Miserable.
For a 7 o'clock game. It's got to take them 2 hours to get to the arena. It's crazy.
Miserable.
That's why they get after each other so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
But their excuse is practice the facility, practice, El practice, Segundo.
Yeah, it's right there.
So that's your daily thing.
Wicked stick work.
Darn right.
A lot of stick work to report.
A lot of wicked stick work.
Down there in the South Bay.
So, yeah, I watch a lot of Kings games.
Okay.
I pay attention. I've been watching the Lakers, and they've been exciting and fun to watch. And even though Petros thinks the sky's falling because
it's over.
They lost last night, but they've been playing good.
But what about my Clips?
Do you care?
I
it's all right.
I haven't watched the Clippers game.
What if Leonard, with his giant hand, dialed a phone, your number, and now you're on the phone with fun guy Kawhi, and he says... We don't know what he sounds like when he talks, but he says Justin Turner. Maybe he sounds like Bane. And, you know, we'll come to the game. And he wants you to come out to a Clipper game. And you in court, you know, with your beard on display, sitting on the floor with Billy Crystal. Would you do it? Or would you look at it as some kind of betrayal to the team of your childhood?
Yeah, that's probably betrayal. Yeah.
Even if fun guy Kawhi... Just think of his giant hand holding a little phone.
What about very likable local guy, Palmdale, Paul George, calls
PG.
And says, hey, you're from here, I'm from here. How about you come out, give it a go, see what you think.
See, here's the problem.
Like, you flash the leather, I play defense.
I almost feel like if I go to a Clippers game, I'm going to get booed at a Dodgers game.
No.
Oh, just by the relationship.
No,
have you ever seen a Clipper player?
Drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen a Clipper player come to a Dodger game?
Yeah, but people are too drunk to make that connection. They're not going to be like, if you had a Clipper jersey on, they go, what is that? Boo!
Right.
But they're not going to be like, I saw him in December at a Clippers Heat game. Boo! I mean, that's too, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't like going to games.
Fair enough.
I like sitting at home, watching on the couch.
I just hate.
Yeah.
Although it's fun to go to hockey games.
It is, but I don't go to a lot of hockey games either.
On the couch.
Well, I go to the game where you can meet him at the North End after.
Exactly right.
I'll go watch the Kings on the road. I go see him in Vegas. I've seen him in Phoenix.
What's that like in Vegas?
It's crazy. Kinda weird. It's crazy to go to the Staples Center. I mean,
you can probably
it's not a lot of game watching for me, I'll tell you that.
If you were to avoid
why,
LAX.
Why, Justin? You think people get excited when they see you walking around?
A little bit. Take a couple pictures.
People get kind of geeked up?
No, it's cool.
You know, like the line of freaking jabronis outside? You better stay in here, brother. This is like a bomb shelter from all the weirdos that want to take a picture with you outside.
They're waiting for you out there.
This is an AM radio station, man.
I was warned. And I got to go back in the principal's office. I got to go see Don.
No, you don't. So. Just leave.
Listen, Joseph. I like the way you spoke, but I need you to project a little more. I want you to talk like this when you're on the radio.
Here's what I'm saying. Fox Sports Radio, national show. Talk about anything you want. 2 hours on a Saturday.
Get your friends on.
I'm going to hook you up with old Barber and Garber and Farber. They're all... Sam Farber going to sit with you. We're going to get you in there. It's going to be a good time. Whatever you want. Anything goes. That's what he's going to do.
Is he going to come in? Is he going to come in here now?
No, just leave.
Yeah.
Leave before he has
a chance. He's coming in here.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
That would be our recommendation.
Is there anything else? Insurance.
What are you doing the rest of the offseason? Between now and the end of 2019, what are you doing? Are you going to like a big New Year's Eve rave on top of like the U.S. Bank building in downtown L.A.?
No, absolutely not. We low-key.
Low-key New
Year's. Low-key New Year's, yeah.
Okay.
In a room.
What about ugly sweater Christmas parties this weekend?
No.
With like Dale Jarrett.
None of them.
Oh, yeah.
No. My NASCAR friends coming out for a big Christmas party. No? Okay, no.
We finished all of our charity events and all that stuff. So yesterday was a crazy day for us in the morning at CHLA doing that stuff. A lot of fun. And then drove up to Santa Barbara for another foundation event.
Jeez.
Did that. And now we're done.
This is your last thing. And now you have Christmas to enjoy.
My last thing of 2019 was... hanging out with you guys.
Here's something that you need to know. This may be why the boss wants to meet with you. You're listening to AM 570 KLAC Los Angeles. That's the top of the hour ID that we have to do per the FCC because this is terrestrial radio.
So close to the top of the hour.
We don't own this frequency. We just lease it from the government. So there you go. So close that we... little tardy on that one.
At RedTurn2 on Twitter. Enjoy him. In the off season and enjoy him more.
And you can stay if you want.
I don't know if that birthday party's calling you.
You're more than welcome to stay.
I know that there's a tractor beam to Rambo 2. I know that there is.
How about I come back in 2020?
I mean, I'm
January.
Just saying.
Okay.
At 5
come back
o'clock,
and hang out in January.
That works.
If you're driving at 5 o'clock and you're on the 101,
you might say, hey, tune into AM570, see how this plays out between Rambo and Colonel Braddock.
I'll be listening on the way home, I promise.
Okay. You promise?
Well, I don't know what time I'll be going home.
Don't go to his office. We're telling you right now.
All right. Sorry, Don.
Just pay for the parking.
I'm going to tell you a story about Carl Mecklenburg.
Yeah, let me tell you. Here's what happened. I got Logan into it. He didn't want to do it, but I got it. I said, you're going to do great at this play-by-play thing. And now Logan's, he's a play-by-play voice. They do it all. Nuggets. Thank you.
Is that our cue?
Yeah, we stretched.
Is this like the award show? We blew, kicking you off the stage?
We blew right through.
And the music
we were supposed to break 14 12, minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But hey, you're worth it.
Justin Turner comes in, and all bets are off. You know, it's like when your aunt visits, and the kids get to stay up late.
Exactly right, man.
And what do we have to look forward to? Napalm Death.
Vietnam Christmas.
2.5 more hours. Petrison Money Show on AM570 LA Sports. A big thank you to the great Justin Turner, really one of the most gracious athletes, and considering his level of success and the level of accessibility to us and the fans coming through on the show, there's nothing we can't say about Justin Turner and be over complimentary.
And then come off the sideline and is nonchalant.
He ain't nonchalant.
No, he comes in with a purpose.
Exactly right.
Thank he you, prepares guys. With a purpose.
Thanks for having me, guys. Merry
Let's
Christmas.
Let's go, 2020 Dodgers.
That's right.
Merry Christmas to you and the whole Turner family. And the dog. Happy birthday to the dog.
Happy birthday.